Good morning. At 2 o'clock, if you could lift some prayers for the sixth grade boys Deer Park team. They're playing for a championship today. Super excited about that. I've had the honor of coaching my son for the last 3 or 4 years, so should be a good day. Well, when we launched Blue Ash Community Church a little over 11 years ago, we spent 6 months doing what we called preview services, and we did a ton of outreaches in that time. I walked literally hundreds of miles hanging door hanger after door hanger, inviting people to come. I've had countless conversations with people in the community. I met with the assistant city manager of Blue Ash before we launched to see how, hey, what's the best way we could come alongside and just serve the city. Before we first launched our first official Sunday, we mailed thousands and thousands of mailers out to the community. And every meeting, every outreach, every door hanger, every mailer was preceded by prayer, praying that the name of Jesus would be known throughout the community. And I've been asked a lot about the marketing side of church and kind of specifically how we approach getting the name of Blue Ash Community Church out to the community. And as a matter of fact, in the next few weeks, you will yourself have invites that you could use to invite people to Easter. Anybody that God puts on your heart, your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, these cards will have been prayed for. We have prayed that God will use these simple invites to plant seeds in people that would lead to new life in Jesus. Our ultimate prayer isn't to people simply attend Easter Sunday here at Blue Ash, although we'd be very honored if they did that. Our ultimate prayer is for Jesus to become their Lord and Savior. So every outreach we do, all the invites we hand out, all the mailers that we do, and any other way that we let people know about Blue Ash Community Church is in that effort. And if someone gets a mailer or a handout or gets an invite and it causes them to pause in the moment and maybe think about Jesus for the first time in a long time or the first time ever, we've planted the seed. See, our prayers are for God to use those simple invites to create curiosity, a hunger for Jesus, to create questions about who Jesus is, what did Jesus do, and what is he still doing in the world today. And again, we'd love it if people would come and explore Jesus here and look to the find those answers here at Blue Ash and explore what that might mean in their own lives. But if our touch, if our outreach, if our invite leads to people to seek out another church that loves Jesus and they find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it's a win for the kingdom. See, our prayers are for God's kingdom to come and expand, not Blue Ash Community Church's kingdom to expand. Our prayers are for God's glory to be on display, not our glory to be on display. Our prayers are for those missing in God's family, is for them to come and know how much they're loved by their Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, many of you are here this morning because someone first prayed for you. Some of you are here because of an outreach, an invite, a mailer, or a personal invite. Many of you have found faith in Jesus here, and you have then become an answer to somebody else's prayer. When my wife and I first began to talk about going to church, and we thought about, hey, where will we go? The first church we went to was one we were invited to. And later, when I came to faith, I learned I had a brother and his wife that prayed for me to come to faith for years. And in case you missed it, I said, years. And that's sometimes how prayer goes. Prayer goes that way oftentimes for those that are lost or missing. Lost people are those who are wandering around in life. They're trying to find purpose and meaning all on their own. They search for purpose and meaning in every way that they know how, and it always comes up a little short, comes a dead end, and they start that search all over again. They're lost. They're looking for meaning somewhere else. We say around here, we want to be people who go to the missing. Go to the missing. Go to the people who do not know how much they're loved. They don't know that Jesus died for them and what he has to offer. They're missing from God's adopted family. We do that by loving well and pointing people to the one that loves us the most, which of course is Jesus. And so this morning, I hope to encourage us. I hope to challenge us. And above everything, I hope that God's Spirit ignites a fire in all of us to pray for those that are missing from God's family. Those that don't know that they're loved the way they are. Because as we've been talking about throughout this series, our prayers, they matter. They bring heavenly resources to the here and now on earth. Our prayers are heard by God, the God of creation. So before we get too much further this morning, let's invite God into our discussion through prayer. Will you pray with me? God, thanks so much. Thanks so much that we're all answers to prayer, that you've pursued us, that you've never given up on us, that you're for us, that you love us. And so God, remind us of that even now this morning. Remind us how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. If this is your first time joining us online or in person, we're glad you're here. We are wrapping up our series. I'm a little sad about it, to be honest with you. I've loved teaching this series. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. But this is our last week of Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, where we've been using the book by Tyler Statton. And again, we didn't get through the entire book through the series, but if you're following along in the reading plan, which is in those journals, and you have the book, you will have read through the entire book. We also have a small group that meets on Wednesdays. We've only met one time, so you can still join that. Encourage you to check out. We can dive even deeper into the material. And if you don't have the book, even though it's the last week, I still encourage you to get it. Go to Amazon, get yourself a copy, go to your local library, get a copy there, dive into the material. I think it'll impact your faith in more ways than you can imagine. And if you've missed any of the weeks, or maybe you're like, go back and re-listen to the weeks. I really encourage you to go back and miss the weeks you have, or go back and re-listen and watch them, because we've covered some great ground. I'll give you a quick synopsis. That first week, if you were here, we talked about silence and solitude, creating space. And it wasn't so much about like being in a completely silent environment, although I think that's very important. It's about silencing our mind, recentering our hearts and our minds on who Jesus is. And so we said, for 2 minutes, find that spot. Create that moment. And we've continued ever since then to do that every single day. The second week we talked about adoration, talking to God or praying to God about his greatness. And we gave you 3 practical ways, came right out of the book. They were, of course, just reading the Psalms or anything that talks about God's greatness, praying through those. It was about worship, which we've already done this morning, and we could do that through gratitude. Being grateful for all that God's already done, all the things that God is already doing, and all the things God is going to do. Then we defined what true confession is biblically and how freeing it is to come before God, confessing and asking him to search us, allowing him to do his best work through our repentance, and he cleanses us, he restores us, he loves us well. We also explored what it means to walk in the authority of who God's created us to be by interceding, praying for others. And then last week, we discussed what it means to pray practically for daily bread, all the things that we want, all the things that we need, the here and now and this moment. And we'll end this series talking and praying about the lost, those that don't know how much they're loved, those missing from God's family. And if you've read the book and you've read this specific chapter, there's a tremendous story by Tyler tells about D.L. Moody, who is one of the greatest evangelists of the 19th century. I won't spoil the whole story, but I'm going to give you a little snippet if you haven't read it. D.L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists of our time, gives the secret sauce to evangelism. Evangelism is a churchy word for a simple term that means telling people who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and what he's still doing today. And so he gives us the secret sauce of what this evangelism is. D.L. Moody's entire evangelist strategy was prayer. That's it. Prayer. Moody famously carried around a list of 100 names in his pocket of his friends, of his adult friends. And every day, these 100 friends that had no relationship with Jesus, that didn't know who Jesus was, didn't know that they were loved by Jesus, didn't have a relationship with him, he prayed with them for them every day for their salvation, to come to know and love Jesus. And the results of that labor of love were astounding. By the time D.L. Moody passes and he dies, 96 of the 100 people that he prayed for, that he carried around in that pocket, had found faith in Christ. The other 4, the remaining 4, gave their life to Christ at his funeral. Isn't that amazing? Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have a 100% success rate, but it does mean prayer works, right? Prayer makes an impact. And we know that if he's one of the greatest evangelists, we know Moody's impact was felt far beyond those 100 people that he prayed for. Now, when you hear the number 100, does that seem like, man, that's a lot of people? Or do you feel like over a lifetime, that's not a lot of people? Like, where are you in the continuum of where that what that number means to you. Because imagine if every one of us prayed for 100 and 100 people found Jesus because of our prayers, we're planting those seeds. That would mean thousands of people would come to know and love Jesus. That would mean family trees would be forever changed. Because prayer makes an impact. Prayer matters. Author A.W. Pink, which is a tremendous name, says it this way. The measure of our love for others can largely be determined by the frequency and earnestness of our prayers for them. We see this theme throughout the New Testament. We see this throughout Scripture. And the first book of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament that simply tell the story of the life of Jesus, Matthew says it this way. He says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills to go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. We see it again in the Gospel of Luke, again, that tells the life of Jesus. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We see this again in the book of Romans. This Apostle Paul writes most of the New Testament, and he writes this letter to Rome, and he says this, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. This is God's plan, to save those that are lost, those that are missing from his family. And the biggest challenge to God saving those who are lost, those that are missing, those that are wandering, is that many of them don't know they're lost. They don't realize it, right? Remember our definition of humility by Andrew Murray we've been talking about throughout this series? Complete dependence on God. Complete dependence on God. That's what true humility is, according to Andrew Murray. I think it's a great definition. Pride, then, is any place, anywhere in our lives, we put confidence in our own ability to provide, whether that be decisions we make, finances, relationships, intellect, anytime, anything that we think, oh, we know this, right? Like, I got this one, God, I don't need you. Anything, anytime we do anything without checking in and depending on God's direction and guidance to provide, it's pride. And we live in a world full of comforts, right? And I like comforts. Who doesn't like them? I love warm water. I love a shower that's warm in the morning, right? I like the heat and air condition. I enjoy indoor plumbing. I bet you do too, right? My heated seat on the way in this morning was tremendous. It was so nice. It's nice. After church, we can decide pretty much where we want to eat and what we want to eat, right? Those are great comforts to have. But in all that comfort, all those things that we have, it's easy then to minimize God because we don't see the need for God to provide really a whole lot for us, right? So it's easy to relegate God to just kind of those big things. God, I got all these little things in my life. I'll hand you the big things that I can't, you know, like your health. You can try to eat healthy, you can work out, but at the end of the day, you don't have a whole lot of control of what happens, right? Maybe it's stress and anxiety. I need your help there, Lord. Strained relationships or strained marriages. Like, I need you there, right? I got all the other stuff. Maybe it's even simple things like just a good night's sleep because you just can't seem to find it. And it's easy to look at all the ways we think we provide for ourselves and trust in what we want and what we want to do before we ever look to God and ask him, hey, what do you want me to do? Here's what I need you to do today. Or here, I'm opening up my day. I'm opening up everything to you. I'm going to depend on you and your direction. When desperation for God and dependence on God is replaced by safety and comfort, then we tend to put our trust in more tangible and predictable things, something that requires a little less faith. And this can often take, it can often take desperation on our own lives for us to see Jesus for who truly is in our lives. The ultimate provider. And when we or anyone is living in safety and comfort, it's harder to submit all that we have to God. This is when wandering happens. This is when people live missing out on all that Jesus has for us, all that he truly is. See, God longs to give us more than we ever imagined, more than we ever wanted or needed. But our desires can often be a little too small. We desire just enough to satisfy when God intends to and wants to lavishly pour out his love and his blessings on us. We're satisfied with the good and God's ready to give us great. We seek to numb our pain and by God, instead of just, you know, we're trying to do everything in our own strength and our own accord. And when we do that, we just numb our pain and we kind of get by, and God's offering us soul-satisfying peace instead. Jesus offers us peace and we settle for mediocrity. This isn't what God has for us. He has so much more that he wants to give his kids. And this is what we want God, we want people to experience. God, the abundant God. This is what we want people to know. This is what we're praying for people. We want people to meet that Jesus. But in order for that to happen, they have to experience a rebirth, right? They have to die to their old self and be born again. And this is throughout Scripture. We see this idea of rebirth over and over, this imagery. We see it in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, when it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Old Testament's written in Hebrew, and the Hebrew word that translated as formless in our English Bibles can also be translated as barren. God's Spirit gives life to barren places. God's Spirit gives birth. He birthed creation. We see this in the story of Abraham and Sarah. She is barren, and God opens up her barren womb. And he begins the work of recreating God's people, the Israelites. When God himself enters into the human story, he does so through childbirth. This is the kind of prayer that God's inviting us into, the kind of prayer that produces new life in those who do not know they're loved. This is the kind of prayer that God loves to answer. The challenge, though, with new life prayers, these kind of prayers that we're praying, prayers that we want people to come to know and to have faith in Jesus, is they can often be slow. Praying for the lost, praying for the missing, can seem slow and seemingly unglamorous. The reality is some of these prayers could take years to bear fruit. Some may never be answered the way we want. Still, others may be answered, and we won't be around to see them, as was the case for D.L. Moody's last four on his list. But if we want to have the kind of legacy of 100 people that D.L. Moody had, we have to live the kind of life D.L. Moody lived. Over Christmas, we went on vacation, we're driving back from Florida, and I'll often just sit in silence. I do all the driving, and it's peaceful, you know, everybody's on their electronics, they got their earbuds in, and they're watching something or they're sleeping. And so I'll drive hours in silence. Well, this time I decided, you know what, everybody's sleeping. I'm not a big country music lover. I don't hate country music, but I was when I was younger. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to listen to some classics. I'm going to listen to Tim McGraw and Garth Brooks. Now, when you put Tim McGraw or Garth Brooks in Apple Music or Amazon Music, they'll start to play songs that are like those artists, right? Now, a lot of those songs I knew, many of them I did not. Well, one song came on that quickly caught my attention. I've since listened to this song many times. Actually, listened on the way in here this morning. It's kind of catchy, and the main reason is only really because of a few lines that I really like this song. So let me read you some of the lyrics. It says, "What's going on, Mama? Something just dawned on me. I ain't been home in some months." That's a good country song right there. I'm from Indiana. We like a good ain't in there. "Been chasing songs and women, making some bad decision. God knows I'm drinking too much." That's not what I liked in there. He says, "Yeah, I know you've been worried about me. You've been losing sleep since 93. I graduated in 93, so that caught my attention. And it's, I just heard a gasp by the students. Wow. Graduated in 93. This is what I liked. "I thought you should know all those prayers you thought you wasted on me must have finally made their way on through. I thought you should know." Man, I just caught my ear quickly. And of course, they repeat it over and over. I thought you should know all those prayers you thought you wasted on me must have finally made their way on through. And this is how our prayers can feel. It can feel as though we're wasting our time and wasting our prayers because we don't see the immediate results. The secret labor of love, the secret labor of prayer to God for those that we love produces new life is time. We just gotta be persistent. And every great move of God throughout history, if you were to do this study, which is a great little study, every revival, every awakening follows a common pattern. Prayer. Prayer. When a community, when a church is on fire for God, it isn't because they have the most dust in the building, although we could rank probably as one of the highest ones with that. It isn't because they have the coolest band. It isn't because they have the best experience. It isn't because of smoke machines. When we look at the history of the deepest and largest revivals, they weren't found in the coolest, most modern, eye-catching places. They usually started in a very ordinary place with seemingly ordinary things and ordinary people. But prayers ran deep. Prayers of confession, prayers of intercession, prayers for the lost became prominent in that community. And ordinary places experienced radical transformation. Revival and awakenings happen because people have increased the priority of prayer, resulting in an outpouring of God's Spirit on his people. As J. Edwin Orr said, another really cool name, he said, whenever God is ready to do something new with his people, he always sets them to praying. Prayer may be slow and seemingly unglamorous. Prayer may require even us to push through some really painful, difficult seasons, but prayer also leads to the joy of new life. So with that in mind, I want to walk us through an exercise this morning that we're going to return to in just a few minutes. But take out your journals if you have them. Flip to the back. There's some line pages. You're like, I've never picked up a journal. Hop on back. Head right before the curtain. There's journals there. Or pull out your program. Maybe get your notes section out on your phone. But find some way to capture these names as I walk you through this little exercise. I'm going to paint a picture for you. You guys ready? Let's first start easy, right? Like think of family members or friends that you know that don't know who Jesus is. Write their names down. You're like, I'm afraid somebody will see this. Just write their first name down. You know who they are. Who are the friends? Who are the family members that you don't know Jesus? That don't know Jesus? And if you're like, I'm not sure where they stand, write them down anyway. And then start praying that God would give you an opportunity to talk about Jesus or ask them about Jesus. Who are the family members? Who are the friends? Once you've listed family members and friends, think about your neighbors. Think about your coworkers. Who are those people that don't know Jesus or you're not sure where they are? Neighbors and coworkers. Now think about like your daily stuff that you do. What about the cashiers you seem to see all the time? Maybe it's the waitress or waiter that always, you go to these restaurants, you see the same person all the time. What about the doctors you go to? The pet groomers, the manicurists, the hairstylists, or anybody else that comes to mind in your life that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus? Write those names down. Think about your day-to-day, your week-to-week acquaintances. Who are they? Maybe you don't even know their names. Write down what you know about them. The next time you see them, try to capture their name. Think about who you socialize with. Right now, just invite the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to walk you through your average week, your average day. Who comes to mind? What faces do you see? Let your imagination see life through the eyes of a holy, loving, ever-pursuing God. Write down every name you can think of. Write down what you know about them. Make this your moody list, right? And as time goes on, add to it. Cross them off. Celebrate as they give their life to Christ. Celebrate with them if you can. Put this list somewhere you can see it. Here's the thing. Don't feel the pressure to pray for everyone on the list to start. Maybe start with a few. Change it up. There's so many ways you can put this into practice. Certainly, I challenge you to add this to your daily routine in your prayer times throughout the day. One way is to say a short prayer for people as you go see them on the go, right? Like if you're going to go pick up your coffee, pray for the barista, like as you're walking in. Doesn't mean you pray for them out loud. You can, but pray for the barista next time you pick up your coffee. When you're headed by that friend's house or that neighbor's house, and you know they don't know who Jesus is, or you're not sure where they are in the faith, pray for them. Pray for them by name when you're headed or you drive by their house, when you pull into your neighborhood, when you pull into work in the parking spot. Make those your reminders to pray for your coworkers. When you get your hair cut, you get your nails done, pray for that person silently. Every time I get my hair cut, I sit in that seat and I pray for the person that's cutting my hair. Begin to make it that your practice. There's also a great app, and I know I've thrown a lot of great apps at you guys through this series. I use this app called Inner Room. Inner Room. And you can have different notifications, push notifications that come up, and you can label them however you want, at whatever times you want. I have three that come up every single day. At 11 o'clock, so just in a few minutes, it's actually passed, I get a notification for our church to experience a deeper connection to Jesus. At 1 o'clock, I get a prompt and a reminder to pray for the lost. At 4 o'clock, I get a reminder about gratefulness, to pray for gratefulness of the day. The early church was rhythmic. It was routine, even religious, about praying throughout their day. It was a staple in their faith. And sometimes routine can feel like it squashes the depth and meaning. But there's some great value in creating rhythms that help remind us to engage in God all day long. Here's what I've always hoped this for our church. I don't want to be a church that prays, right? I don't want to be that's something that we do. I want it to be something that we are. I don't want to be a church that prays. I want to be a praying church. Let's allow God to use our prayers to cultivate the spiritual soil in us. Let's allow God to use our prayers to cultivate this spiritual soil for those that we know and those that we love, those that we come in contact with. Let's allow God to use our prayers to cultivate this spiritual soil for our church, for our community, for our city. And then we can just watch as God brings new life to those who are far from him, as they get to experience the joy that we get to experience and the love of Jesus that we get to experience. And in a few seconds here, I'm going to give us another way that we can express that love for those that do not know how much they're loved. But before we do that, grab your Connect cards. I'm going to offer you a few next steps. You may have one that I don't talk about. You go ahead and write that down on your Connect card. But the first one is this: accept Jesus for the first time. That's you. Make sure you write your name, check that box, write it on there, drop it in the offering in just a few minutes when it goes by. But maybe today is the day that you want to experience all that God has for you, all the love that he wants to lavish on you. And so the Bible calls that repentance, where you simply turn from living life with your own direction and your own wants and needs, and you ask God for direction. You say, I'm sorry for trying to be the author of my life. I want you to be the author of my life. I want to experience the love that you have for me. I want to walk in the authority that we've been talking about throughout this series. The second is our memory verse. We do a memory verse for each quarter, at least this year. If you don't have one of those cards, again, I encourage you to grab one on your way out. It's the Lord's Prayer. Spend some time praying that every day, reading that. Write it on your heart. Get into the Bible. Get into the Word gets into you, as we like to say around here. And the third one is the application, which we'll come back to in just a second. And in a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to receive prayer. We'll have prayer teams in the back. I would love to pray for anything that's going on in your life. If you want to bring those names of people that don't know Jesus, they'll pray for that too. If you need healing, God heals. We have lots of stories the last several weeks of healing that's happened. Can't wait to share some of those in our kind of testimony time here on stage on Sundays. If you have a praise, let's praise God together through prayer teams. If you just have a prayer request you want to write on your Connect card, drop it in the offering. You can do it that way. We pray for these at staff. And then, of course, email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. I'm going to go ahead and invite the ushers up. We're going to receive your offerings and your Connect cards. But I want to go back to that application. We've done this every Sunday, and I feel pressured not to do it because I feel like we're running late, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to do 2 minutes of silence. It's that important. And if you've not been here and we've done this 2 minutes of silence and you're like, wow, this is going to be awkward, it might be. What I would challenge you to do is just be open. Maybe, just maybe, God wants to speak to you in those 2 minutes. We're going to spend 2 minutes to recenter ourselves. And typically I'll just say something like, God, come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Do a work in me, recenter me, remind me of who you are. And if my mind wanders, I've said this before, I'll simply just say the name of Jesus. Jesus. And I try to recenter. This is all about you, Lord. It's all about you. When my mind thinks about something else, it's Jesus. Brings it back. It's amazing how much your mind can wander in just 2 minutes. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sit in silence in 2 minutes, and then we'll walk through what we've been talking about. God, just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Recenter us on your love, Lord. Thanks for all that you've done in our lives, that you created everything and everyone, and you still love us individually. You're so for us. You never give up on us. God, we just ask you to come. Search us. There's something in us that we don't see. Would you reveal it? And help us to repent and confess of you so that you can come in and cleanse us, restore us, renew us, and love us well. God, we lift up those that we know and love that don't know you. We lift up those that are struggling in life and they do know you. The remaining minutes that we have here this morning, we've done this the last few weeks. As you've missed, you see there's all kinds of prayers on this wall. This wall will be here. We'll have a curtain over it, but those prayers, those names will be here for the life that we're here. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, if you have names of those that don't know how much they're loved, that are missing from God's family, to come up, write their names on this wall. I'm going to say one quick prayer and ask you guys to stand or sit, worship, and write some names, and let's celebrate. We get to cross them off as they find new life in Christ. So God, come. Remind us who those people are. Give us the names, give us the faces. Even if it's just the barista, Lord. Ignite the fire, the desire in us to pray for those that are lost, that are missing, that are struggling in life. God, provide direction. God, we're excited that our prayers make an impact. They make a difference. And that family trees can be altered and changed forever because we lift their names out of our lips to your ears. Because it isn't about necessarily all the things that we say. It's about all the things that you hear. We don't have to say it in some elegant way. You know our heart even before we say the words. God, give us boldness. Proclaim the name of Jesus to everyone. In your mighty holy name, we pray. Amen. Come on up and write some names.